challenge going to be with him?
Nobody runs the ball harder than he comes downhill every play. He runs angry. He's a talented back, and he looks for contact. He's gonna get his yards. He gets the hard yards, and he gets exactly what's there every down.
Why has your run defense done so well? Not just Thursday, but really all year.
I think it's a collective effort that starts with the D line in the way they put their hands on people. They strike with their hands. They've got a great understanding of controlling blocks and then shedding blocks. So when that front wall is built properly, like ours has really been built properly most of the year, then the rest of the guys fit into place after that. And then I think we've done a lot of work on the tackling aspect. And when we first got here, we had to really amp that up, and we put a lot of focus on it. And usually what you focus on is what you get. So I think the tackling part is really picked up.
As Acho gets healthier, will you stick the rotation, or will you go just with Matthews?
We'll go. Right now, he's still coming off that injury. We're still, partially practicing and getting it better. So that's a week-to-week thing. We love what Casey did in the game, but Acho's been solid everything we've asked him to do. So rolling him actually benefits us in special teams a lot. And we have a pretty good rotation going throughout our D-line and linebacker group. So it's nothing new to us or unusual, so he'll fall right back into some form of a rotation.
When you look to build a secondary, do you kind of like look at Seattle as kind of the prototype just with the big physical corners and all that?
I think they've got a great secondary. I don't know if there's any prototype out there. I know we like big, long corners and safeties who can cover man-to-man, and we've got our own set of criteria that we kind of look for, but every team does. But then good football players are good football players, and you pick the guys that play the best and make them fit, use their good.
What are the challenges of defending a quarterback that can, run on zone replays?
Well, it comes back to our Carolina game. It comes back to our San Francisco game where the zone reads back into play. One of the benefits we have here is there's no new conversation for us when we play a zone read team like there are for teams that don't have a whole offseason of defending it. I mean, we see it every single day of the offseason. We see it every single day of training camp. And even during the course of the week when we do some good-on-good, we defend the read option. So our calls and our conversations for our linebackers, their reads, our outside backers, our inside backers, and how we defend it is nothing new. We just we reopen that conversation when we have to face a read option team like we are this week.
Does GJ kind of play that role on the scout team? He's at probably your most
athletic. Yeah, he does a great job with it, yeah.
In the span of a couple of weeks, you've faced two quarterbacks that we consider elite. They look completely different. What, in your opinion, what was the biggest difference between those weeks in terms of your defense?
There really are. Although they're both elite quarterbacks, and I agree with you, there's a completely different offense coming at you. The people around them, the game and how the score, everything changes. Every game's got its own feel to it, and as the score separates or the weather or the field position, all the things that go with it, I think some of those things change. When we faced Green Bay, in Green Bay, the quarterback was absolutely on fire, and it takes nothing away from us. We had some tight coverage that he threw the ball in there on, and that game separated on us, and all of a sudden it was different than the Dallas game where we got a little bit of a lead, and then that thing changed, and they were a little bit more committed to the run game than the pass. So there were so many differences in it, if that answers your question.
I don't know if you watched New England, Green Bay, because he didn't play. It looked like Green Bay was going to run New England off the field, too, after that. Did you see anything there?
I didn't study it thoroughly. I watched it from the TV aspect, which is a very hard, when you're used to that coaching tape, that's where you see all the little things. But I only watched it from the TV aspect.
Practically speaking, though, on stopping the zone read, and when a quarterback can move like a Russell Wilson, I mean, obviously I don't think you give away too much, but what are some of the keys to eliminating?
Really, the biggest part, Jeff, is the quarterback comes in play with their numbers. You always talk about all the gaps, and everybody has a gap and then gap integrity. When a quarterback is a runner and they have a blocker in front of them or even a zone read where they're trying to read, your commitment to the dive or the quarterback, you just have to have the conversation of one more number in the count of the running game and of the gaps available. So that's the biggest change when you start talking about a quarterback as a runner on a run play.
When defending that and teaching it, how much has it helped to have so many former college coaches here on your staff?
It's the biggest difference. Our guys have spent a career of defending this, and it's old hat to them right away. I mean, they've got answers for everything right away. Where honestly, someone's got a call. From the aspect of them knowing the answers right away, they've defended it so much. Where you, as an NFL lifer, I haven't had to have those discussions a lot in my career, but over the last 2 years, now again, We face it in practice every day, so that's a benefit to us. And then the coaches that we have are not only outstanding coaches on any scheme, but the read option is a part of what they know well.
Bill, how has Trey Thomas been an asset in terms of helping guys up front?
You know, Trey came to us about, you know, early in the season, and he's doing a nice job of doing some offensive line tendency film breakdowns for us. So he'll come up and say, this guy's stance tells you this, or, you know, he's been working hard and helping us with just, you know, one more aspect of a guy looking at something that, you know, we're looking at the whole scheme, and Trey's focused on the, you know, maybe a stance tip a guy gives away.
You're talking about tackling. How does Marshawn Lynch kind of stack up against the other guys you face, like DeMarco Murray and...
Well, they're both big. Both those guys are big look-for-contact guys. DeMarco Murray will put his shoulder down and run you over, too. So it's nice that we're facing those two big downhill runners back-to-back. We know what it's about. You know, it takes a swarm tackle. You can't tackle Marshawn with an arm. It's got to be a full-body swarm tackle. We need all the effort to the ball. He's a punishing runner, and we've got to be at our best to get him down.
Their pass catchers have changed this season with the trade of Harvin, with the injuries at tight end. Where are they now in terms of the receivers, the tight ends?
You know, I don't know where they were because I didn't see any Harvin tape, and we're not going that far back. But right now they're very solid across the board. You know, they've got a great system offensively that stretches the field on you. You have to defend the width and the depth of the field with these guys, and I think they've got a great system in place, and they're spreading the ball around. They're based out of a run game, but from there they spread the ball out, make you defend the field.
Well, you have a bunch of
not to keep coming back to, you know, defending a quarterback who can run well, but how much has to do with the speed that you have in your front seven?
That helps. That and effort. You get 11 guys running to the ball, and the quarterback's running around, and that's been one of our I think stamps of this defense is their effort to the ball. I think very rarely do you see them not have 11 guys running to the ball, and they pride themselves on it. And when you have a mobile quarterback, two elements occur. One, you have to finish all the way to the ball. You have to have all the guys in pursuit. But the real key is on the back end, plastering in the coverage when it goes from a 3 to 4 second coverage mode to 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds when these quarterbacks can run around in space and still have all the arm to throw it. So that's a key element, not only swarming to get him down because he's going to make one or two guys miss. It's about on the back half, can we stay in coverage?
They've given up a lot of sacks, though. Is that because he runs around back there?
It has a little bit to do with it. I mean, he is, if you're protecting for him, there's the pocket initially, and then God knows where he is. Now, he's making half the people miss. Same guy misses twice, and sometimes those do turn into sacks. If you'll collectively rush him as a group, I think we'll be okay from that aspect. And he's still going to make his plays. You know, the guys like this are going to make their plays.
You have a bunch of different guys who have shown an ability to rush the passer and get pressure, get sacks, from Vinny and Brandon and Fletcher and obviously Connor. How much more dangerous are you having a bunch of guys with, you know, instead of just one guy who's got 20 sacks or one guy who's the pass rusher, how much tougher is it to defend that?
I think it's a lot tougher. I think the one-on-one matchups, and we move them around. So we can go ahead and manipulate some of our one-on-ones, and it's just a tribute to those guys and the coaching they're getting. You know, Az and McGoves do a great job teaching the stunts, the games, the straight pass rushes. We put a lot of emphasis on it this year, like I talked about with the outside backer group. I mean, last year was about dropping in the coverage. This year we said, okay, now we have that down. Let's refocus on going forward and getting our pass rush and our games timed up. And I think the guys have responded. We've got a lot of guys that can rush a passer.
Aside from Delaney Walker, you guys have done a pretty good job on tight ends this season. What's the reason for that?
I don't think there's one reason. We've got linebackers on the tight ends at times. We've got safeties on the tight ends at times. You know, I just think the guys are feeling more comfortable in our coverage packages. We're not changing a whole lot. We've got a couple more coverages that we've added over the offseason to get us tighter on that. And I think it's just a matter of the guys being more comfortable and playing faster in this game.
If I'm not mistaken, had Nolan Carroll play a few left quarterback reps in base, mm-hmm, against Dallas?
Yeah. I think Fletcher's shoe came off or something. I wasn't positive at the time. But yeah, there was some kind of a – it really was. That's what it was. It was a
conspiracy
theory. Yeah, there's no conspiracy theory. We just – you know, he ran out there, and we were out of dime for a second. So, those things happened during the game.
Specifically, you talk about building the wall and then moving guys around. How important is it to have a guy like Fletcher Cox, a first-round pick, who kind of subjugates his stats to kind of do everything for you, even though you can put him anywhere?
Fletcher, I can't say enough good about what he means, but that whole D-line is playing pretty solid. And, you know, Fletcher, like we talked about, he doesn't have the sack numbers right now, but they're growing for him. Mm-hmm. But he's been disrupting everybody from, you know, the quarterback to the run game. He's always in the backfield. He's almost always winning his one-on-ones. And that makes everybody else's job easier around him. But the whole group collectively has been, you know, we've been winning the line of scrimmage more than we lose it. And that Fletcher's a big part of that.
Is there anyone about you? You've been around for a long time.
You know, I can't name one guy. He is a very well-rounded guy. I'd hate to put that label on him as one guy because he what's neat about him is you go from putting him in a three-technique gap charge to a two-gap technique where he's striking, reading, to just a regular old pass rush outside or inside, and there's not one place that you really say, oh, boy, he struggles there. He really can do it all.
Well, who have you coached before that has that kind of versatility, though, that can – if you're not going to compare, there are not a lot of guys who do that.
Not a whole lot, but I really don't have somebody for you. I'm not going to give you a name. But
what sticks out to you about Brandon Graham's skill set?
His power. You know, Brandon, when you talk about going forward, Brandon has a lot of power. He's got a great center gravity, you know, low center of gravity where he really gets a push. When he goes to his bull rush, people move backwards, no matter how big they are. And Brandon's got a nice counter move. He's very strong-handed. He got real heavy hands. So setting the edge in a run game and his bull pass rush is probably his trademarks, and then he's got so much better in going backwards and knowing where he fits in coverage.
You mentioned the effectiveness of the stunts in games. Is that something where the players are getting calls from the coaches to do that? Are they deciding on their own if it's, you know?
We have a mix. There are calls I can say, hey, give me the double Texas or a Texas right, and I'll pass all their names for it. Or I can say run games, guys. You can choose to run a straight rush, or if the two of you, it's really two and two is really what you break it down to. The two rushers on one side work together. They can rush straight, or they can say, hey, you know, hey, cover me. I got an inside move coming. And that's where the growth has really happened. And not only we can specifically call a stunt and they'll run and execute it, or we can give them, you know, hey, just straight rush, and they're good at that, or we can say, you have your choice. And those three elements, the guys really are good at working together and the timing of games is what's so hard. So the more you run them with somebody, the better the timing gets.
How far has Brandon come as far as covering, you know, dropping back into coverage and picking up somebody?
You know, him and Trent, really, from never having done it. And that's, you know, what's a starting point? These guys have never done it. They've been playing ends. And when they stood up and they really worked on their eyes first, once you get your eyes in the right place, you really can get your body in the right place. And the biggest mistake of having coach that position a lot is the eye placement. And right now, Brandon, in going backwards and getting your depth, that's the other thing you lack when a defensive lineman goes backwards. He usually doesn't get the depth in coverage. And Brandon's a smart, intelligent football player. And once he gets those main points, he gets it done almost every time. Now, the one-on-one foot race and quickness inside, you can't do anything about it. It's not where he belongs. It's the same thing when he rushes the running back. You know, the running back running a route on him gets the advantage running back. The running back blocking him in pass, the advantage goes to Brandon. So, we good? All right, thanks, guys.